Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, our subject today is a continuation from what we started before, and the subject is pride. Can you imagine how disgusting this is, especially in other people, right? And we have a hard time recognizing it in ourselves, but there's so much of it going on. It is the condition of just about everybody in the world, and very few of us have conquered it for sure, because it has reached academic levels. It's in politics. It's in the legal system. No matter where you look, and people are making decisions based on their ego, instead of anything to do with, in fact, real life and humility. So here's a couple of thoughts to begin with that I want you to get. Let's get a definition of pride. So here we go. It is an excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance. An excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others. It's also referred to as an inordinate esteem. And so we've been covering this subject, and actually we wanted to do it in three parts. So let me just give you that outline so you know exactly where we're at and where we're going. And so there are three parts of recovering from this condition. Number one is to understand the destructiveness of pride, which we did a whole session previously on that. 26 items of destructiveness that are caused by pride. The second step then is to come up with what is the biblical and moral cure for pride? And actually, that's what our subject today. And the next time we're together, our subject is going to be how to recover from the destructions that come to us from the pride of others. I mean, everybody else's narcissism affects us. And God wants you to not be damaged, not be hurt, not be put down by that. So we're going to learn how to deal with that. So today our subject is to find the biblical and moral cure for pride, and that's what we want to do. And so join me right now. And before we get started, though, on how to cure the pride, let's look at this. Here it is. Love not the culture, neither the things that are in the culture. If any man love the culture, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, this is why God is against the general world condition. Ready? For all that is in the world, here they are, three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, got to shop all the time, covetousness, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But I want you not to miss this part of the scripture. The pride of life. It's the common way things are. And it prevents us from being what we should be. And so that's why we want to learn what is the biblical and moral cure for pride. So here we go. I hope you're taking notes. You can always go back and review and replay the video, of course. And it's available both on YouTube and at our website, nothingbutthetruth.org, nothingbutthetruth.org, no spaces, nothingbutthetruth.org. So how do we conquer pride? So we have to begin by recognizing what it is, recognizing what pride is, the excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others. It's the same as saying it is inordinate self-esteem. Now, the problem is most of us may not know what the word inordinate means, so let me stop there just for a moment. Inordinate means not regulated, controlled, or restrained, inordinate. It means intemperate, immoderate, excessive, not conforming or subject to law and order. It means disorderly, unrestrained in passions, feelings of conduct. So it's inordinate. It's out of the ordinary, and usually by some kind of excess. So let's first recognize what pride is. Remember, it's an excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling of or attitude of superiority over others. It is an inordinate self-esteem. So what do we do about that? Mortify, therefore, your members. That means mortify in mortuary. Kill. Kill. Kill fornication. Kill uncleanness. And kill inordinate affection. Don't allow it. Do not allow it. Kill it. So the first step is to recognize what pride is. The second thing is you should review the destructiveness of pride. And that's what we taught before. I'm not going to go through it again, but 26 items of things that pride destroys a person's heart, mind, social relationships, business, all kinds of things. You need to review those. How do you get a cure for pride? First of all, recognize what pride is. And secondly, review the destructiveness of pride. Number three, realize, and I'm going to combine three and four together, realize that humility, which is the opposite to pride, qualifies for a true exaltation, a true lifting up. You're going to see that in a moment. But I want to combine it with number four, that we accept personal responsibility for humbling ourselves. So what now says the scriptures about that? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't have somebody else do it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and look at what the result is. And he, God, look at what he will lift you up. Now, before I go further, I want to clarify a couple of things. All truth has to be balanced. There's truth, then there's errors on, like ditches on each side of the road. Humility is in the middle. Pride is one ditch. The other ditch is humiliation. God doesn't want you to humiliate yourself. God doesn't want you humiliated. And you certainly don't want to do it to yourself. So don't mix up humiliation with humility. And certainly the two ditches, pride and humiliation, are not where you want to be. So let's go back and see this again. Humble yourself. So what's this now? It qualifies for true lifting up, because if we humble ourselves, God, look at this. God's gonna lift you up. Now I combine three and four together for this reason, that we have to accept personal responsibility to qualify us for that lifting up that comes from God. How do we do that? Humble yourselves. It's not something God does, it's something you do. And so we humble ourselves. Look at the scripture. God resists the proud. Phew. I mean, he's not helping them out. Why? Why would God not help out the proud? Because the proud are against him. Why would you? He would be self-destructive helping people. Because pride is usurping the rightful place of God in your life. It's the narcissism. And so God is resisting the proud. He knows about them. He'd like them to recover, but he can't help them in their present condition. And that's why the scripture says God resists the proud. But watch this now. He gives grace to the humble. Watch now, because we're going to come again to that same idea. In fact, let's look at it right now. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So watch this now. You get grace. What is that? It is the favor of God. It is the energy of, you get God's help. So it's energy. Grace is not sick, weak, anemic, or theoretical. It is the energy of God given to you. So watch this now. Because the cure lies in recognizing the need for humility and accepting responsibility for it. And in doing so, you qualify for grace and God coming along and exalting you in due time. So I don't want to leave this point. Now, I want you to really see that this is what the scriptures don't just indicate it, they enforce it. Don't let anybody call you master, for there's only one master, that's Christ. Now watch this. Him that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We've got, see, pride thinks I'm really somebody because I got all these people serving me. God says, no, the real deal is to be great, is to be the servant of a whole lot of people and not have a whole lot of people serve you. The culture has got this backwards. So don't be called master. Only Jesus is a master. And he is the greatest among you shall be your servant. Because watch this now. Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Watch it now. But he that humbles himself shall be exalted, lifted up by God. Now, I'll tell you something. When God lifts you up, nobody can put you down. But if we get ourselves up by manipulation, then somebody's going to come along and manipulate us down. That's why the scripture, I might come across it again, but promotion comes not from the east or from the west or from the south, but promotion comes from the Lord. Self-promotion, you get yourself, manipulate the system or the people, and you get lifted up. But if you had to go through people to get there, those people can bring you back down again, but not when God, yeah. So promotion comes from the north, which is the direction of heaven. Not from the east or from the west, but promotion cometh from the Lord. But let's get some more of this. The same time the disciples come to Jesus, because there's a competition going on, right? And they say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, Jesus is confronted because the competition between the disciples is heated up and they want to know who's going to be on his right hand, who's going to be top notch, top of the pile. So look at what Jesus says. So they came to him and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And here's what Jesus did, an illustrated sermon. And Jesus called a little child to him. And he set the child in the midst of them. Oh, watch this now. And he said to those competing for promotion disciples, I say unto you verily, except you be converted from your present ego launching competition, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, so now it's not just disciples, for us too. So whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh my goodness. Realize that humility calls us for the true lifting up by God, accept personal responsibility. So, but let's move on to some more biblical strategies to cure the pride condition that we seem to have. So in this time, Jesus speaks a parable unto them. And now watch this. Unto them, those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. I'm the king of the castle, you're the dirty rascal. So watch this now. He's going to tell a story. Here's the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Don't confuse that with Republican, but publican. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed this way with himself. Now look, he prayed with himself. God wasn't even listening, right? But he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I mean, look at the bunch over there. They're extortioners, unjust adulterers, and even this publican that's here in the same building with me. Because I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, on the other hand, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, now I'm telling you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now watch this principle. It's a biblical one. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What was the difference between? One was a pompous jackass promoting all himself thing, religious things he did. The other said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Had the humility. You humble yourselves by confessing your sins before God. Why is that important? Because there's a result that follows. Look at it. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be salvaged. Look at this. You humble yourself by not just confessing your sins, but you humble yourself by making Jesus the absolute boss, the ruler of your life. So ego isn't running the show anymore. God is. Pride has been displaced by humility. And how did that happen? We brought Jesus into the God position of our life and we stopped playing God ourselves. So we humble ourselves by making Jesus our Lord. Now this saying that Jesus is Lord has to be authentic. It's not fake. Here's what Jesus says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says the right words shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, does the will. It's not just saying it. It's just really making Jesus the Lord, the ruler, the boss of your life. So that means we get all our directions from him. Some famous verses about that. You probably know them. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, humility is willing to be the follower and not the leader. The student and not the teacher. Now, watch this now, because we learn to humble ourselves by confessing Jesus as Lord, by confessing our sins. But we also humble ourselves by confessing our sins to others. Ooh. Confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. Healed from what? Well, imagine it includes your pride. Pride doesn't want to confess faults to other people, admit its own failure, its wrongdoing. But if you want to humble yourself, Now, when you go to somebody, you don't, you know, garbage belongs in the garbage pile. It's not about bringing up, the garbage. You don't, and you only go to the person personally. You don't stand up in front of the whole church and say, folks, I'm here to confess my sin because I thought Joe was a dirty, rotten, and I said this about him. Now, the scope of confession should be the same as the scope of transgression. Yeah. So we humble ourselves by confessing our faults to others. And then we humble ourselves by developing a servant spirit. So this is a stunning thing about the Lord. Let this mind, this way of thinking, be in you, which was in Christ. Okay? Think like he thought. All right? Who, being in the form of God, he was God, right? He didn't think it was robbery to be equal to God. He didn't pull off the God thing. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So many people got the wrong idea about God. They think he's a narcissist. They have no idea what he's really like. You know, in most cultures where there exists a king, people serve the king. He's the top honcho. Everybody does his bidding. In the cultures where there's that kind of a political structure, the king, the people serve the king. With God, the king serves the people. Oh. Jesus said, I didn't come here to be ministered unto, but to minister. I didn't come here to take life from you. I came to give my life for you. He became a servant. And so, let's not miss the scripture. Let this mind, this servant mind, this mentality be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Made him no reputation, took upon himself the servant. My, how delightful is that? Jesus was not, this was not a peripheral mention. I mean, he enforced this over and over again. Look at the scripture. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. But whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh my goodness. It's interesting, as you go through the New Testament, every book almost begins with whether Paul's writing or whoever. In fact, let me bring one up. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, look at this, your servants for Jesus' sakes. The books all begin with them mentioning, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. And then you can humble yourself by submitting to proper authorities. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good guys and the gentle, but to the froward, the guys that are mean. But if they're a proper authority. Now, that's a subject that we need to talk about. Because the 13th chapter of Romans is being abused. Because it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there's no power but that which is ordained of God. Whoso therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, shall receive damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So this scripture says we are to be subject to proper authorities that are set by God. But that's what you need to catch this. Set by God, there are people who are in authority who God has nothing to do with. They got there by other means and methods, and often evil and violent. And so we have to submit ourselves to proper authorities, even if they're not all that nice. And then and we can humble ourselves by suffering wrongfully. Imagine that. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, we don't want to suffer at all. And we certainly don't want to suffer wrongfully. But the Lord teaches us to kind of like suck it up, because you're suffering for a good cause. So that's humbling, by suffering wrongfully. And then we can humble ourselves by receiving correction. We'd rather be the corrector, right? But look at this. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof is going to make a big mistake. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You humble yourself by receiving instruction. You can humble yourself by accepting lowly positions. Yeah. So Jesus said, when you're bidden to a feast, go and sit in the lowest room. Look at this. Sit in the lowest space. Then he that bade you come to the party, he's going to say, hey, okay, come on up here. Friend, go up higher. We always want the high positions, but we humble ourselves by taking the lowly position. That's why the scripture says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in, look at this, lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Now, I don't want you to mistake. I want you to know what this word esteem means. To esteem, it doesn't make other people better than you, but to esteem them means to regard them as valuable. To think highly of them, to show regard and respect for them. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. I will never forget the time when I was aggravated with somebody's, and it was just, I heard a voice that said, don't mock them, don't make fun of them, don't put them down, because they are someone for whom I died. So I learned never to treat others without understanding that, hey, that person is really something. They really are a somebody. Christ died for them. And that really helped me. Because the culture, pride, wants us to return evil for evil, but not humble returns good for evil. We'll come to that. Then you can humble yourself by being by associating with the needy. Be the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Condescend means to come down to a lower condition voluntarily. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Don't be so conceited. That's what pride is. We get over this thing. So we humble ourselves by associating with the needy. What does it mean to condescend? The scripture says, condescend to men of low estate. Condescend means to lower oneself voluntarily. To avoid superiority. To graciously stoop. Kind of reminds you about the Lord, doesn't it? Can you imagine? My Father, and I wish heaven had visiting hours. I think of him every day. Great dad. his favorite song was Down From His Glory, Ever Living Story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to his own estranged, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. But oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great creator became my savior. All God's fullness dwells in him. Condescend. That's what God did. Came down from a high position to a low condition. The creator became the created, voluntarily lowering himself. And he didn't come with any superiority. What a savior. Then you can humble yourself by yielding to others. Now, we know this scripture in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. We always stop there, but I put these dots in here because I want to connect the rest of the scripture. Now look at this. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You can humble yourself by yielding to others. You humble yourself by forgiving others. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness. Look at this. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Ah, pride can't do that. So we forgive. Watch this. Because it goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving. Forgiving one another. If anybody has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave, that's the way to do it. Do it yourself. Humble ourselves by forgiving others instead of holding grudges, instead of being bitter. Humble yourself by forgiving others. Then you can humble yourself by listening instead of talking. Wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be, look at this now, swift to hear, slow to speak. We're usually, see, pride wants to be swift to speak and slow to, doesn't want to listen. Pride is not a good listener. It's an assertive, it's an aggressive, it wants to be the boss. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now watch this. Slow to react. Slow to wrath. For the reaction of man does not work the righteousness of God. This word, wrath, from Strong's Concordance, means properly a desire as a reaching forth or excitement of the mind. And I got it? This is not about acts done in vengeance. It's about reacting. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, for the reaction doesn't work the righteousness of God. It simply doesn't work. Now, believe it or not, I'm getting to the end, but this is so important. I hope you're really catching this, because God wants you to find his grace. He wants you to be promoted. He wants you to be exalted where nobody else can put you down. So we also learn to humble ourselves by obeying instructions. Being the student, not the teacher. The follower, not the leader. This isn't too hard to do when you realize that the instructions are coming from the Almighty God, right? So humble yourself by loving your enemies. Whoa. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. That takes you. Pride can't do that. Do good to them that hate you? Are you kidding me? Pride has no place for that whatsoever. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh my goodness. Humble yourselves by always obeying instructions. Humble yourself by always following the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Not my will, but thine be done, following the Spirit. And then humble yourself by speaking only good and not evil about other people. Be ready for every good work. Don't miss this. Speak evil of no man, nobody, ever. You need to hear John Wesley's sermon on that. Look it up. Don't be a brawler, either physically or intellectually, but instead be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, all meekness, humility, unto all men, everybody. Humble yourself by only speaking good. Don't speak evil. Don't carry an evil report. And then, upon any failure, make sure that you respond in contrition. So if I do some prideful act and I fail, look at what the scripture says. To this man, God's saying, I will look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. For thus saith the high and holy one that inhabits eternity, Mr. Big, creator, El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. His name is holy, and I dwell in the high and holy place. Watch this now. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Oh, why? Because if we're contrite, if we admit our pride, God says, I will dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Look at this now. And I'll revive the spirit of the humble. And I'll revive the heart of the contrite ones. These are some of the biblical methods of humbling ourselves. And if you'll do this, and I know, this is probably hard to receive because remember the three things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Pride does not want us to be humble. It wants us to be the dominant king of the castle. But instead, God comes along and says, I want you to be just like me, a servant. And if you'll be like me, follow the wisdom I've given you, follow the example of my son, I will lift you up. I will exalt you. And no man can ever, ever put you down.
Did you know that God has given you an embedded natural ability? David L. Johnston has a free ebook to help you discover your spiritual gift. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/gift.